Hey guys, welcome to Church First Baptist on Wednesday night. Thanks for joining with us, hanging out with us this evening. The last few weeks we've been talking about how to prevent a sin infection, and tonight we're going to talk about heroes, and I'm going to challenge you to maybe think about the way you change the spelling of the word heroes. Kind of got a little wordplay there for us tonight and talk about that. What makes a hero? How can we be heroes, and what the difference can be in that? Tonight, as we get started, I just would like to pray with you guys and to hopefully welcome you, and we join together tonight like last week. I hope you're comfortable. Hope you're sitting somewhere in an easy chair or somewhere where you like to post up and relax. And before we get started, let's pray together. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all that you've given us. We thank you for the weather today that you must have a plan for that too, because the rain is driving me insane, but I know you've got it under control. We thank you for those things for sure. Thank you for the ability to minister to the people around us, God, through the wonders of technology. Pray that you would just help us tonight to connect in our spirits and to be close to one another, even though we might be separated by physical distance. We can be united, God, by your spiritual drawing and your spiritual oneness that we can find in you. I pray that you would help us in that tonight. Pray that you would be with our church family tonight, God. I pray wherever we are and whatever home we may be in or whatever work we might be at whenever we're checking this out, God, I pray that you just bless the members of our church, God, and the members who are watching this of the community. Pray that you help us to find strength, God, in difficult times and to find perseverance and peace in turmoil and times that just wear on us. I pray that you be with those who are sick, God, and begin to heal them and begin to move in their lives, God, in a physical and a spiritual, even emotional and mental way, God, where we are affected so many times when we're ill. I pray that you just be with us today. I pray that you would be with our members too, to be challenged to be more like you and to impact our community around us through the things that we do and say. And I pray that you just provide us with those opportunities to step out and to begin to be different and to begin to be better and more like you. Help us tonight. Help me to be able to speak words of life and words of encouragement and to be able to be challenging as well. And once again, I just thank you for this opportunity and pray that you're with us here tonight. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right. So I told you tonight we're going to talk about heroes. And first, kind of thinking about this, I wondered how have I defined a hero in my life in different times of my life or different venues maybe that I've been in. A hero has had a different definition to me. When I was younger, a hero was always my dad. My dad could do anything. He was the strongest man I'd ever met. He was that kind of guy. He was just the big, typical macho man kind of hero in my life. Still is. I don't know how he does it. He's still stronger than I am. I don't understand that. But it's changed over time, and I begin to appreciate a couple different kinds of heroes. And sometimes we think of those, we think of maybe a fireman or a police officer that kind of risk their lives to keep other people safe. And also in this time, for sure, healthcare workers who are dealing with being in the middle of possible infections of the coronavirus and other stuff on top of that that just adds to it in those arenas as well. So sometimes I thought about that and thought about those special titles and those special jobs that allow us to be considered heroes. Sometimes, for sure, soldiers and other members of the armed forces as well. Again, just someone who risks their lives for those around them is kind of what I've typically associated with the definition of a hero. And as I've kind of taken a step back and looked at this, I started to think about maybe it's not always that. Maybe the definition of a hero doesn't have anything to do with a superpower or a super title or even a super occupation. Maybe it's just some character traits that we can associate with heroes. And I started to think, you know, okay, what would be, who was one of my greatest heroes growing up? And it was one time, most of my life, for sure, it has been my dad. But also, there was a guy named Emmitt Smith, who used to play football for the Dallas Cowboys. And Emmitt Smith is the all-time leading rusher in the NFL. Literally learned how to play football watching this guy. Same number, same everything. I still have 22 in my email address for my football number. Just, you know, ate up with it when I was growing up. But Emmitt Smith physically wasn't the most perfect specimen. He wasn't always the fastest. He wasn't the biggest. He was a little bit short. He was a little bit slower. He was almost great in the scouts' eyes, but was probably never going to be the best ever. And there were some things that he did that allowed him to become the all-time leading rusher in the NFL. And one of the things that was cool about Emmitt Smith was when you watched him play football, he never quit moving his feet. He never stopped moving his feet. And that was one of the things my dad would preach to me when I was younger, learning how to do the same thing, learning how to play football the same way, was it doesn't matter when you get hit. It doesn't matter if you initiate contact or you absorb contact, never stop moving your feet. And it sounds kind of silly to think of at first, because once you get hit, you're down. But if you keep moving your feet, you're able to work through that contact, and you're able to work through that attempt at a tackle or to knock you off course and stuff like that. So I really began to appreciate the fact that when he ran the ball, he never stopped. You could see his feet. They were moving until he was on the ground. And I think that was one of the things that allowed him to become kind of a sports hero. And I think in our spiritual lives, we can kind of look at that in the same way. Whenever we are kind of going through life and we're carrying the ball of our Christianity, and Satan comes to attempt to knock us off course or to tackle us or to take us out of where we're supposed to be going, we have to keep moving our feet. If we get stuck and we get in a standstill, we're a lot more likely to get hurt or injured or knocked off course. And I was thinking about Paul when he was writing in Philippians in 3:13 through 14. This is in the ESV version. He says in verse 13, "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." And I know this, he's metaphorically talking about sports through a lot of Philippians, and he talks about training and talks about running a race and all these things. But in the last part here, he talks about pressing on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And I think that's critical for us too, to know that, yeah, we're going to have some things that try to knock us off our path in our life. We're going to have things that are going to try to take us away from maybe the plan that God has for us or the direction we should be going. We can get knocked off course and start to go an easier way, where Paul says and encourages us to forget what lies behind us. It's not about what's behind us, it's about what's ahead of us that we're going to push toward, and that being the effect we can have on those around us here on earth, and then also, of course, the ultimate prize of making it to heaven whenever we die. But to forget what's behind us and to press on toward the goal, to keep our head focused on the goal that's ahead of us. And I think that's critical in our lives. It's so easy to be distracted. It's so easy to be bumped off course. But one of the things for sure about how to become a hero and how to be kind of that everyday hero is to not stop moving our feet. Keep moving. Keep stepping forward. Keep driving. Keep pushing. And when we do that, we can see that we begin to break tackles. We begin to move through those things that are trying to nip at our heels sometimes or completely take us out. And another scripture I was talking about, or that I actually read this week in the Bible plan that I'm on, it was Proverbs 24:16. And it says, "Though a righteous man falls seven times, he will get up, but the wicked will stumble into ruin." And so it's not always about how, like, if you get knocked down or if you get knocked off course, it's about how you can get back up and how you can continue to move forward after that. quick story. I remember one time I was playing football at Owensboro High School, and Owensboro senior, and I was a senior, and running the ball, coming around the corner on the right side, Saw a hole, looked like it was big enough to literally drive a truck through. Got really excited, going to get some big yards here, going to score a touchdown, all those things going through my head. And I'm going forward, and the next thing I know, I am literally trying to get up from the ground facing the opposite direction. And kind of laying on the ground, got my hands on my face mask, trying to figure out what's going on. And it was the weirdest thing. I felt like the entire crowd was silent, and the only thing I could hear was my dad's voice in the bleachers saying, "Get up, 22. And just literally could not figure out what was really going on. But I was able to hear that voice to say, he knew that if I was hurt, I would understand it. But if I had just been knocked off course, I could stand up, go back to the huddle, and get on with the game. And hearing that voice then was really a physical thing. But that has begun to become a just kind of a mantra that helps me sometimes. And it's like the Lord says it to me too. He's like, "Hey," my dad used to call me Bo. I always went by Bo. It's just kind of like God says some days, "Hey, Bo, get up, get moving, get up, you're fine. Get back in there, get after it, and let's go." And I think that happens a lot of times in our life where we can get hit and stay down and stay where we are and wallow in it and be hurt. But we can also hear the Lord calling us to get up, get moving, start going back to what you know is right. You know how to put one foot in front of the other, start there. You know how to read your Bible, start there. You know how to pray, let's go there. Let's do the simple things we can do first, and then we can move back into the more complex things. And that's kind of what happened to me with that as well. I figured out, okay, I can stand up, I can walk, I can think, okay. And I remember telling the coach, just give me the ball and I'd be fine. And typical Logan Clemens statement at the time, just give me the ball and watch what I do with it. But to remember that you can do simple things first and then move back into that. So first thing, how to become that kind of everyday hero, how do we begin to redefine what a hero is to not stop moving our feet. Don't stop moving those feet. The next thing that I think is really important about a hero is that very rarely do heroes go at it alone. And I think that's kind of a misconception. When you think of the word hero, a lot of times we think of Superman and not Supermen. We think of Batman and not Batmen. But in real life, so many times a hero is part of a team. You know, one officer can't keep an entire town safe. One fireman can't put out an entire house fire by himself. One Christian can't help save the world on our own. But when we band together and we join together on a team of people who are about the same thing we are, we can affect so much more around us. The synergy in that is incredibly, it begins to multiply exponentially in the effect we can have on those around us. One fireman can't put out a blaze, but when there are three or four or five trucks on a fire, the blaze can be put out in no time. One officer can't keep us safe, or one anything can't do it as well as multiple people with the same mindset. And I think that's sometimes as difficult for us is when we come to church and we maybe have a personal agenda about what church should be, or we have a personal idea of this is the only way that this can be said or that can be said for it to be effective. And I think sometimes we miss the real and the bigger ideal of what that means, and in that seeing that sometimes it's not about the verbiage, or sometimes it's not about the process that we use or someone else uses or whatever. As long as it's sound in Christian doctrine that we believe in Jesus and we believe that he died on the cross for our sins and he was rose from the grave, and that gives us power and understanding, we accept that he can live in us and forgive us of our sins, that's it. That's the basic crux of what Christianity is. And I think sometimes we get stuck on trying to go a different way, or trying to be a little bit of a loner, or have our personal agenda about things, how things should go, that we miss the bigger, broader impact we could have on our community and for the church people around us and for the lost people we may come in contact with. And I also thought about, too, when we're a part of those teams, we have to be a part of the right team. We have to be in the right position on that team. And I think that takes having a good coach. And sometimes in our life, the coach may be a parent. Sometimes it may be a pastor or an elder or a deacon or somebody that we're associated with that has a position of authority. It can be a boss. But I think it's always, it needs to always be God that's the ultimate coach. But when we start to align ourselves first on the right team and then begin to find the right position, we can be really effective in how we serve our churches and our communities and even our families. And, you know, this whole thing has got a lot of football references to it. But in football, there are a lot of different positions to play. There are linemen, there are quarterbacks, running backs, defensive linemen, all of those things. And each athlete is suited usually specifically for a certain type of position over another. And if that person is playing out of position, they're not going to be effective in whatever their job is for the team. And that's the same thing with us. If we can't find the position that we're in, or we're trying to serve out of our position, or we're trying to maybe do something that we're really just not good at. There are things that I'm good at that my wife is not good at. There's only a couple of those things, though, so don't get excited about it. Brianna is incredibly good about everything she does. Most of the time, all I have on her is picking up heavy stuff just because I'm stronger than she is. But there are things that she does well that I do not do well. There are things that Roxanne does well that I don't do well. There are things that Brother Ron does well that other people don't do well. It's just learning how and what position we should be in that maximizes the abilities, the talents, and the gifts that God gives us. And when we begin to find that position that we're in the correct team, we can be incredibly effective. We can begin to be not just effective to those around us, but effective to ourselves and the growth of ourselves and becoming fulfilled and knowing that we're serving God in that way and we're serving Him in a way that He created us to serve our community and to serve our church and all of those things. And it also helps us in our families and in our jobs and in those things when we begin to find our strengths and begin to operate in the things that God created us to do well. So, a couple scriptures here for sure. Is another scripture in Ecclesiastes. It says, if someone overpowers one person, two can resist him. And then another one it says, or the other part of that in verse 12 says, a cord of three strands is not easily broken. The first part of that says, it's 4, 9, and 10, and 12. I'm sorry, I got those all mixed up. They're out of order in my notes. So 4, 9, and 10 says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their efforts. For if either falls, his companion can lift him up. But pity the one who falls without another to lift him up. And then verse 12 is the one that says, if someone overpowers one person, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. So that reminds us that it's easier to not do it alone. It's easier to have those team members who are with us. And when we do fall, we have those ones close to us who can challenge us to say, hey man, get back up, or hey man, what's going on? How can I help you? How can I give you a hand in this situation? And then also, we find a greater amount of strength when we're surrounded by those people who are dedicated to the same cause we are. We begin to find that synergy, and we begin to find that we're not just two times stronger when there's two of us. We're stronger even than that, and that becomes that synergy effect that we can affect and begin to impact those around us in huge, just monstrous way when we begin to band together and we see that. So the first thing about how to be that everyday hero, how to redefine what a hero is, don't stop moving. Don't stop turning your feet. Don't take that first hit and just lock up. A second one, don't do it by yourself. Be a part of the team. Find the right team, and that team is God's team or Jesus' team. and be on that, but also find the position on that team where you're most effective. And I think that takes us praying and just asking God, how can I serve you? What can I do for you? What can I do for the church? And how can I help in this way? And it almost always will just kind of present itself as an opportunity, or we begin to see things, oh, I like this, or I like that, or this is something I can help with. And we begin to see it that way. And the last one is, when we think about heroes, I thought about, as you pluralize that word, it starts to become homophonic to a sentence that is spelled a little bit differently. And that's where the title comes from, is how do we spell heroes? And if we change that to becoming H-E-R-O-S-E rather than H-E-R-O-E-S, we can see that that kind of changes the definition of it, but it also changes the spelling. And what I mean by that is, first off, one of the things that you always saw about Emmitt Smith when he played football, he got up. Man, he took some big-time hits. He took some hits that really could probably have injured him really bad, but he got up. He wanted to play. He got up. He stood up. He wanted the ball again. He didn't go out of the game. Very rarely did he miss any game action, stuff like that. He got up every time. And when I think about that, I also thought about how Jesus was rose from the grave, and that's how we find our power in our Christianity. Our religion, the crux of it, and the power that we have in that comes from the fact that the deity that we worship defeated death. And no other religion can really have that person who was on earth, lived life, died, and rose again. That's where we found our power. And that's how we know that our religion is different than anything that tries to contest it or anything that tries to come against Christianity, is that we know that our Savior lives. We know beyond a shadow of a doubt that our Redeemer lives. And we know that He rose from the grave and He defeated death as that last enemy. And in that, we can find the power to be able to defeat any enemy that we're presented with. And because of that power, we are not subject to the physical death, but the spiritual death. When we know Him, we're not subject to that anymore. And when we're in Him, we have life eternal. And we have that life beyond just this physical earthly life. And I think that that is so, for me, the little changing of the letters was cool. It kind of happened right around Easter this year. And to see that, that made such an impact on me spiritually, to know that, like, yeah, it's about getting up. It's not about how many times we hit the mat. It's not about how many times we hit the dirt. It's not about how many times we lose a job or we don't do something right or how many times we fail. It's about how many times we attempt to succeed again after that. And I think that so many times we get stuck in, man, I can't do this right. I can't do that right. I can't do blah, blah, blah. I can't. And we get in that mindset, and that takes us down a road where we are just ineffective to anybody around us. And when we begin to move out of that and say, I can't do that very well, but I know God made me for a purpose, so I'm going to try to do something that I can do well and figure out a way I can do it for God. Maybe you're just really, really good at cleaning stuff, or maybe you're really, really good at, I don't know, praying or writing letters or whatever. Somebody needs what you do well. There's a person in your life, and there's a person in our church and in our community who needs what God created you to do. I don't know what that is. Some days, most of the days, I don't even really know what that is that I do. I just try to do the things that God has allowed me to do to the best of my ability. And I think when we do that, God shows us ways we can become more effective to those around us. And I challenge you today and this evening to really think about that. Think about, are there points in my life that I've just allowed to fall? And, you know, there's like the really good parts of my life, but there's also these parts maybe of my spiritual life or parts in my heart that are kind of laying in ruins, and I don't really want to mess with those. and I don't really want to go there because I failed there, or I couldn't do that well. So I just leave that alone, and I just understand that that's a bad spot. But I challenge you tonight to begin to revisit those and to begin to go to that place where you've experienced failure before, and to come at it with the attitude of this kind of hero mentality. To go in these things and we don't stop moving our feet. We don't get stuck right where we are. We try to push on. We try to press on toward the mark, toward the high calling, and toward the goal at the end of it, that being heaven, and to see those around us saved as we go that way. And also, to not do it alone. We can't do it alone. We're not meant to. We're meant to be part of a team. So get involved in the church. Get involved in some part of the church. Get your hands dirty. Get in and do something. We need people to do all kinds of things. If you're good with computers, we love for people to help with media. We love for people to help with sound. If you're good at just talking to people, we would love to have people minister to those around us and to become ushers and greeters and all of those things when we come back to church, and we're going to do that whole circus whenever that happens, and how the things have to go with that. We'll get there. One of these days it's going to be normal again, I promise. And in that time, we need people, and we need people to do the things that they're good at and that they enjoy. And I think that that's so critical, is to know God made me to do things well. God made me to be in a position on this team. I don't know what that is yet, but I challenge you to figure that out, and I challenge you to pray about that, maybe in this time of absence from the body physically, so that when we regain and we recongregate again, you can be effective in that, and you can find your role, and you can find your position. And it's not just about what that does for everyone else, it's about what it does for you too. And earlier this year, I got into a point in my life where I was real whiny and real fussy about how things just weren't exactly how I wanted them to be at church. It wasn't exactly the way I wanted it to be. And I was so convicted by something that one of my friends had told me, and just said, man, it's not about that. It's about what you can bring to the table, and it's about what you can bring into that environment. And I got so convicted about how I had just been taking and taking and taking and not bringing anything at all and expecting it to be exactly what I needed or what I wanted. And I feel like that God and I kind of had a knockdown drag out about it a few times, and I got whiny and he got stern, and finally we met and he showed me, this is what it is. And just making the attempt to be more involved in the body here, our local body at First Baptist, has made such an impact on my life personally and in my family, and I hope in the church as well. But I know that so much in my life and in my physical life that I experience every single day has become so much more fulfilled, and has become so much, it's like I can breathe easily again, and I'm not angry at the drop of a hat, or I'm not frustrated with this or that. I see that it's about more than a preference, or more than even something that I think is the way it should be. It's about what God wants me to do in that situation. And I challenge you tonight to do the same thing, to take a look at yourself, get a little introspective on that, and say, God, is there something that I'm dealing with begrudgingly, or I'm just frustrated at, that's not allowing me to be effective in my church? And ask him to help you with that. And then the last part of that outline, man, realize that power we have in the resurrection. Get up. Just get up. Every single time we get knocked down, get back up. Stand up. And the scripture that John read on Sunday morning, talking about when we put on the armor of God and to do everything we can to stand, and after we've done everything we can to stand therefore, and to just know that we have the power, because Jesus got up and walked out of that grave on a Sunday morning, we have that power. And we have that same power in that. A couple of scriptures, man, to finish that off for you. Ephesians 1:18 through 21, he It says, I pray that the perception of your mind may be enlightened, so you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the glorious riches of his inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his vast strength. He demonstrated this power in the Messiah by raising him from the dead and seating him at his right hand in the heavens, far above every ruler and authority, power and dominion, and every title given, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And then 1 Corinthians 15, 55 through 57 says, Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? Now the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So think about those things. God demonstrated his immense, vast, immeasurable power by raising Jesus from the dead and seating him at his right hand. And to understand, like Paul is calling us to there in Ephesians 2, to understand that with our mind and begin to take ownership of that power as well. Because as we begin to understand that, we understand it spiritually when we accept him into our life, but as we begin to understand that cerebrally, we can apply that to our lives, and we can understand we have power over those things that come against us on the daily. And then that scripture there in Corinthians, death, where's your victory? Where's your sting at? It's just talking smack to it and knowing that it had been defeated. Jesus defeated death, the last enemy to be destroyed. And we have power in that through that. So that's something for you to smile about tonight. The rain today was a little weird. It kind of made me sleepy. I was telling Roxanne before we started, I was ready to take a nap this afternoon. It's rough. But that's something for us to smile about, man. We can defeat death, and we know that when we're in that relationship with Christ. So tonight, remember those three things. Don't stop moving your feet. Don't forsake the team. Don't jump off the boat. Stay on the boat. Find your position. Get where you need to be. Get plugged in. And the last part, man, find that power in the resurrection. Change the way we spell that from H-E-R-O-E-S to H-E-R-O-S-E, heroes. And that's what gives us power. That's what gives us hope, that it's not about what we have here. Like Paul said, it's not the hope that I have in this life, because if we only had that, we'd be miserable. But it's the hope we have beyond that as Christians. Man, tonight, pray with me before we roll out. I'm so excited to be able to speak to you. So excited to hopefully give you some encouragement this week. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you again for the opportunity that you give us to reach out and to speak and to give your words to those around us through technology and all those things. And that's a miracle in and of itself to me, how that works. I thank you for that opportunity. I thank you that you have created each one of us to be heroes, each and every one of us to be something different than a normal human being every day. I thank you for that. And I pray that you help us to understand that it takes doing things a little bit different. It takes to not stop moving our feet. It takes to keep moving forward, to press on toward the mark of the high calling, like Paul said. It also takes us to know that we need to be a part of that team. We need to be plugged in. We need to be here. We need to be present. And we have to be a part of that. And also, God, understanding both in our minds and our hearts about that power that your resurrection from the grave gives us, and that enormous relief that gives us, that we have victory over everything that comes against us. No weapon formed against us can prosper when we're in that relationship with you the way we need to be. God, I pray that you would help us to understand that. I pray that you would go with us the rest of this week, God, and help us to be different. Help us to be those who are trying our best to change the communities around us, whether that's a community of one person or a community of 1,000 people, God. Help us to do that. I pray again, God, for those who are not well, either physically, spiritually, emotionally. God, I pray that you would minister to them, God, and you be that healer. You be that one who brings them wholeness and wellness, God. And I pray that you would be with us as we move forward, God, as a church. And pray that you would be with our leadership. Again, God, just as every day, God, that I pray this, that we would be led by you and that our leadership would know which step to take next because we found our wisdom in you. I pray that you help us to move forward, God, even as a congregation, to be supportive and understanding of the things that have to be different for a while for us to be able to begin to come together, and help us to understand that, God, in our minds and in our hearts and in our spirits, to be a part of a body that's moving forward. God, we thank you again just for the wonderful blessings that you give us. I pray that your favor rests on us this week. I pray that we can see you, God, at every turn. Every time we open our eyes, God, I pray that we see you. Thank you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Thanks for hanging out with us, spending your time with me this afternoon, or whenever you take a listen to it after we post it. Hang out with us again next week. We'll be doing it again Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, and we look forward to seeing you. Thanks.